All right, we'll call the meeting to order at 8:02 a.m. and we'll recognize Chief Venenga as alternate for Chris Hoffman. And we have Porter and Foster absent. The first item on the agenda is the action to approve the minutes of the January 29th, 2023 Policy Board meeting. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Wilson, second by Taylor. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Next item on the agenda is any comments from the public. I have received no comments, either written or by phone, from the public concerning any issues or in regards to this meeting, and I also have no one from the public in the Zoom meeting queue wanting to join as well. I will move on to the Executive Director's update. So in your packets, I put my report in there. Since the last meeting in June, basically spent a lot of time, as I put in there, basically trying to balance the overtime and finding ways to provide some relief to the staff with the shortcomings of everyone in training. Some of the things that I worked on together with the union collaboratively to try to make this time easier was increasing the amount of comp hours that they could carry on the books just for this current fiscal year. Basically, they were wanting to accrue comp time for the overtime they're working, but obviously knowing that there wasn't a lot of opportunity to take that time, we allowed them to bank that, those extra hours. We just increased that by a week. I worked with the supervisors to cover, you know, any emergent overtime, worked with the union to allow the dispatch supervisors to cover emergent overtime on the floor to prevent people from being forced multiple days in a row, or when they get to work and they're planning to go home that day and next thing they get notified they're being forced. They were very open and receptive to that, so that helped by allowing the supervisors that opportunity during the supervisor scheduled work shifts. We did not have supervisors come in at any like off times or rework anything for them to do that. They just did it during the times they're there to cover, which was obviously during the hours in which those employees were working. Also then moved later on as we're still trying to further find ways to, you know, lessen that burden of overtime. The supervisors basically then switched to an 8-hour work schedule, and they started covering some shifts on the floor, some full 8-hour shifts on the floor, and that really helped out, made a lot of headway between the staff and us by having them do that. They also took on a couple of trainees for 2-week periods during that time, or 2 rotations, which then alleviated some of the additional strain that the trainers were having to deal with, multiple trainees and continually having a trainee. That helped by having the supervisors take on those staff members and train them for a couple of rotations as well. We were able to have a couple of the trainees. They came off of training on their own back in the middle of August, which then that helped, again, relieve some more of that overtime. We currently have 4 dispatchers in training now. We anticipate 2 more being on their own by mid-October, and then the other 2 by the 1st of December. So we currently then have 3 open dispatch positions to fill, and we hope to have one of those openings filled actually next week. And then the last thing, be working on hiring a dispatch operations manager who resigned been over a week ago. And so we'll be working on filling that role as soon as we get the staffing levels up right now. Currently, the 2 supervisors and myself are splitting up those duties in addition to our own. And right now, the plan we have in place has been working for the past week. So we're going to continue with that while we focus on getting the remainder of these dispatch positions filled. In August, and so anyway, that summary right there lasted the course of, I would say, a good month or so. It was constantly every day working on trying to find ways to alleviate that overtime because it wasn't stopping. You know, staff's been working a lot. They were taking time, calling in. So all that sounds maybe a quick paragraph, but really in the overall picture, there's a lot of work going into play every day to make sure that we could try to alleviate some of that as best we could. And we're making a lot of headway now, by especially when those two came out on their own in mid-August, that really helped. Because one of them was an 8-year dispatcher with prior experience, and he jumped right in. In August, Aaron Nathan and I met with representatives from the union regarding wage concerns. During the meeting, we heard concerns and addressed some other previous concerns they had. We agreed to meet with them again in September, which was then last Friday we met with them. That meeting took place. I'll obviously discuss more details regarding that item in agenda number 8. We've been continuing to participate in the 988 pilot group with the state, continuing to meet monthly. To date, though, Johnson County has not received any calls that have met the criteria to transfer, but we still are in the pilot project. The other counties have not had as many either. They've just, like I said, very, very few numbers, but we're continuing to move forward with the process, work with community and foundation to, you know, fine-tune that policy and procedure. And so far, everything, they're getting acclimated with it as well as they're ramping their staff up. But so far, everything's been going well, no changes. They're going to start working on adding other counties just so we can try to see if we can get some volume up. And then our pilot group will continue to meet and discuss as a whole any changes that we see based on any other counties coming on and additional volume, if there's any changes that need to be made. Because right now, we haven't had a lot of volume in our pilot group. And so we've just been kind of fine-tuning the current procedure. So that's going well. And then included in this packet, I still have not received the financials for July and August. It's obviously Iowa City's got their own fiscal year end to do, and their audit takes place earlier than mine. But they did get our unaudited financials for FY23 completed for this packet. So I was able to include those. And in FY23, 98.23% of our operations budget was expended, which totaled $4.225 million out of the budget at $4.301 million. And compared to fiscal year 22, we expended 96.37% of that budget. So again, just working on, one of the things I continue to work on is forecasting our expenditure trends to better maximize our allotted funds and to hopefully keep that number as close as we can each year as we did. And I think this is one of the closest years that we've had, which I thought was good. We ended FY23 with a carryover of $76,242.46. That amount goes into the unallocated fund balance. I do plan, in fiscal years past, we take that money and we carry it over to the following year's budget to help reduce the tax asking amount. This year we have a couple options with some items on our agenda that we discussed at our June meeting that are brought forth this month for approval to proceed with those upgrades. I do plan to use those carryover funds to cover those expenses. We also have a little small amount left in a backup fund that we started years ago, the DPS backup fund, that we can expend as well before going into that carryover funds. But the plan is to use those for the items in agenda number 6 that we will discuss. Those items total $57,796, which would leave a remainder of $18,446.46 that could be carried over to offset the fiscal year 25 budget. And kind of last year, speaking of the fiscal year 25 budget, I will start working on that and get prepared for our next meeting in November, which will be the budget work session. Other than that, our next policy board meeting will be November 17th. And that's when we will have that budget work session discussion. So like I said, a couple of those items in my report, obviously we'll go in a little more in depth on when we get to those particular agenda items for discussion. Is there any questions on that? None in the room, none online. We will move on to item number 5, which is the action to approve resolution 2023-05, the upgrade to the radio system microwave network. That I guess do I go motion first before we go into the discussion?
Of the
resolution?
No, you can
discussion first.
And then
all right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that item, that's to approve the upgrade for our microwave network on our radio system. This was the only upgrade that was not included in the original Harris maintenance, the Raycom now maintenance agreement that we signed 2 years ago. This was a planned item to not have in that initial agreement. And that once we did upgrade it, though, everything's covered going forward. So all the maintenance, any repairs, anything to that nature will be covered for the remainder of the contract, which was a 10-year contract, all included by Raycom on that. It was just the initial purchase of that microwave network, the actual hardware and the infrastructure that we did not put in the original maintenance contract because it'd be a new replacement purchase. This expense was a prior budgeted or outlaid expense that was bonded for by Johnson County. Those funds have been allocated for the expense based on the plan the timeline that I gave Johnson County to bond for these upcoming projects. And it's also the timeline that I shared with everyone back in the budget. So we've stayed on target with those items. So this item is just to approve this purchase and then the addendum thereof to the current maintenance contract. And again, the funds have been allocated by Johnson County for payment of this project already.
Tom, I know I saw it somewhere. What are we switching to? This isn't microwave by Alcatel-Lucent, it's something else.
Yes, this is Aviat.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's the new brand that they're supporting now and rolling out with.
Brian Crum's repping it.
Yep. So, need a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved, Taylor.
Okay, Taylor.
I'll second that.
Second, Burgess. Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. I'll write that down. Move that one over. The next item on the agenda is action to approve resolution 2023-06. This is the resolutions for the parking lot improvement and security gate replacement. So both a couple of grounds items. These items were discussed at our June board meeting, and I said I would bring them back in September. It was more under discussion with no action at that time because we were just bringing them up to put them on and gauge the timeline for this replacement. You heard from Board Member Wilson about some concerns that he had as well with these items, and so we agreed to bring these back up at the September meeting. That's what I'm doing now, and then also with the proposal on how to fund those expenses. So these two expenses include the replacement of the south side of the main parking lot at the JECC. We have been discussing this item in the past and how to budget for it appropriately. It's eroded a little faster, and so there's become some trip hazards out in the parking lot where the pervious concrete has now went down below the curb, the concrete curb, and so there's quite a lip there. And so we don't want to have any incidents occur because of that. And we've already done the employee side a few years ago. Now we're going to propose replacing the south side, and then we will budget an outlay for the north side of the lot. The north side of the lot doesn't have as much wear, therefore we can budget that and do that at a later date. The south side obviously is the part where everybody has to walk up to our main sidewalk and entrance to the building. And again, addressing that lip is a concern for us that we don't want to have turn into any major incidents.
Tom, do they feel like they can get that done before snow flies?
Oh, yeah. We just need to basically give the approval.
Okay.
Or the go-ahead, sorry. Second item is the security gate. That gate, as we've all probably heard at some point in time over since the JEC's existence, it has been an issue. Everything has now been replaced on that except for the gate. The gate has structural cracking to it. There's no way to repair the aluminum. It cannot be welded. The vendor did come out and take a look and give it their best shot. And there's nothing we can do, and that weight and stuff has caused all that. This would be replacing it with the big chain link sliding gates like you see at the National Guard Armory, Cedar Rapids Police Department, Kinnick Stadium. Some of those areas you'd see it replaced with that. It'd be a lighter solution, so there would not be the strain on it that should not cause it to have all that heavy sagging, and as it moves across the strain on it where it was causing those cracks. So same vendor that installed it originally, they understand the issues. They're wanting to make it right. Their quote reflects a discount in some of the issues in them not charging to come out and try to do the repairs because they do want to correct it. So those two items total $57,796. And again, I did propose funding those expenses out of the unallocated fund balance, which had a $76,242.46 carryover. That way it would not affect any of our current unallocated funds today. And we can also, with approval in there, use $7,316.79 out of the DPS backup fund. And I can amend the resolution to reflect that those funds will be expended before using the carryover funds. For those unfamiliar or have not been around to understand what this DPS backup fund line item is, when we first started out here, there was several solutions in where we were going to put some backup equipment. And then obviously with the 911 transition to the state and basically taking the physical trunks away from us and having it have to route to another PSAP, things changed over time, and obviously our backup PSAP became Cedar Rapids and the calls automatically rolling there. So there was no continued investment down at DPS. So we had some funds outlaid to move equipment down there and start that investment. Well, over years, this has kind of been a line item that for unbudgeted or unforeseen expenses that have come up, we have just taken them out of that fund until that fund was expended. And I believe Dave brought it up to me the other day, and it was a good idea just to use those funds to expend, get them expent now, then we can use the remaining funds to out of the carryover, and then that line item will no longer be sitting in our financial statement as an allocated fund balance. So.
In the DPS
thing?
Yeah.
$7,316.79. So if we take the $57,796 and we use $7,316.79, that'll leave $50,479.21 out of that carryover to cover those expenses. So that's how I worked with Attorney Stone to write the resolution that way so that we could use those funds, the carryover funds. I will just amend the resolution to include the dollar amount of the DPS backup funds as well in there if that's what the board so agrees to fund these two expenses. And that way these items can be both. The parking lot, I know the timeline is much quicker. The gate will obviously have to be ordered, but again, vendors don't see any problem having this work done before year end. So hearing that lengthy discussion, I need a motion to approve, and then in the motion, do you want to state the amendment for me to amend.
Wilson moved that we utilize the DPS backup to draw down the cost of $7,316.79.
Okay.
Use the rest from the carryover fund balance existing and move forward with the repair of the south side of the sidewalk and the replacement of the gate, which have been long-standing deferred maintenance issues.
Okay.
Second.
Second by Taylor. All in favor?
With the amendment, right?
Sorry, with the amendment.
With the amendments, right.
With the amendment.
And I will amend the resolution to include that amendment as well. So with the amendment, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is item number 7, and that is discussion of room 115 being converted to a quiet room / lactation room. This item has been brought forth by several of the staff and also from the union representation requesting that the small conference room in 115 be converted to a quiet room / lactation room for privacy and also for mental health and wellness of staff. I've discussed this topic with Attorney Nathan. She did provide some information and a summary for me that I did include in your packet, but I think staff has seen these rooms or have heard about these rooms in other centers, and as they've been to trainings in other places and seen these, they have been asking me over the past 6 months or so several times what the plan was for JEC to implement one of those due to any space constraints that we have currently today. I think they knew as well as I know that's really one of our only options in the importance of that topic. They want somewhere to go after taking calls. They want somewhere where they can be in a private setting that has potentially some sort of a couch or recliner that they can sit in during their breaks and time to decompress. And so I'm bringing it up for here because as we go forward into budget time here in another month or two months, I would probably propose a few items for that room based on staff feedback.
And I just want to note that the materials that are provided just discuss the quiet room aspect, because JEC is currently providing a lactation room as they're required to under both under federal law. So that is already being provided. It's just about sort of enhancing that room and making it. And a lactation room does not need to be permanent. It can be temporary just when you have a mother who needs to pump. And so that's not addressed in the policy simply because you're already doing that piece, but it's just not a permanent solution where the quiet room would be a more permanent area.
And no, we're doing it in the same room.
Same room. Yeah,
so it's been 5 different things since we existed.
Currently, they sit at a conference table, and they just don't feel that it's that comforting of a setting. So, anyway, so that's what I brought up for discussion with the group. That way, we know if we do proceed down this path. Obviously, I can make that decision, but I may bring forward some items in the budget for it to make it better suit its purpose. And so if we do so, then everyone would understand where that's coming from.
I think this, your entity is all about health, safety, and well-being in the community, and I think it only makes sense to provide that for your employees. So yeah. I'm in favor of it.
Okay.
No, Kyle, I don't know if you knew this. We did. We added a room like this. I think we got it done back in February or March, because we had no space at all for something like this, and we converted used to be where we processed evidence into lactation space and like a quiet space, and added countertops, vanity, or a cabinet, a couple chairs, table, and really turned into a nice space. So you can do it with a pretty minimal investment, really.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're looking to remodel it or just put
very similar idea to what you're discussing. We have a simple...
Have you seen ours?
No, I haven't, but we have a simple cabin like in one of the rooms here in the corner, and that's really what they were, what they're looking for is a place to have stuff. They want to put a basket for books, and they want to bring in snacks and be able just to come in and have their own space and kind of just decompress. So
maybe next time you're near the sheriff's office, stop in, look at ours too. But yeah, I think it's a great idea. I just call and support. I just to get it done.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing they're going to appreciate right now is hearing the support and knowing that it will happen. I know I'll have time to come down and take a look at yours. It won't be like we're going to probably jump tomorrow, but so yes, I will definitely stop down. But I think, like I said, the biggest thing that is gonna, knowing that we're going to move forward with it and that there will be a space and that we will be putting some items in there. I think that's going to make the biggest difference right now. Okay. So that's good. I will move on.
Do you need formal action on that, Tom, or not?
No, I just put discussion direction, and I think we got that, so I'm good with that. That'll be noted. Next item is a strategy meeting with council exempt from Iowa Code Chapter 21. The purpose of this strategy meeting is to discuss meeting updates that we've had with the union regarding concerns, negotiation strategy sessions, etc. Public employers are exempt from Chapter 21, and so the board does not need to go through all the requirements of voting to close the meeting. So we will just I will just close the meeting and turn off the recorder for the strategy session. So we will go into our session here at 8:29, and I will turn off the recorder. Okay, it is 9:24, and we have exited the strategy meeting with council exempt from Iowa Code Chapter 21. Agenda item number 9. Any other business? I do not have any. I'll just listen under other business instead of after motion adjourned. Next meeting will be held November 17th. That will be, we're getting into the November-December time frame with the holidays. And so obviously the fourth Friday of the month always falls on those Thanksgiving weekends and the other weekends that most are gone. So traditionally every year we move the November-December meeting to the third Friday of the month just to accommodate that. So November 17th. Will be the next meeting at 8 o'clock, and that will be our budget work session. So after hearing that, item number 10, consider a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved. Second.
Burgess Taylor. Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. The meeting is adjourned at 9:25 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.